chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Amen. Not actually not. But. Ephesians chapter 5, beginning at verse 25. Ephesians 5, 25. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any blemish, but holy and blameless. Let's bow together. Oh, Father, when we look at your word and see the desire of your heart, so often your children have argued over the doctrine of election and predestination. But when you speak of election and predestination, you do not speak of it in terms of salvation as a beginning point, but you speak of it as being elected or predestined to be like Jesus, to be washed and cleansed. So that it could be said of us that we are with a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. Lord, may we be given hearts to seek your agenda for our lives. For you have laid it out. There it is. A radiant church. Spotless, pure, undefiled. Lord, may you do that through the washing of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. As we look today at the word of God, I want us to see the topic of the washing of the word. The Bible says here that the function, one of the functions that the Word of God does is the Word of God is water that cleanses us. Do you know what it is to be really dirty? To not just be, you know, oh, I haven't had a shower yet today, but to be really filthy. To be so covered with stuff that you just are obnoxious to yourself. And then how good it is to step into the flowing water and let all the dirt and the filth and the stench just flow off. The Bible says in the passage before us that God wants to make us holy, cleansing us by the washing with water through the Word. That the Word is a water that flows over us for our cleansing. And we are in need of that. There is not one of us. You say, well, I don't need that. Notice what Jesus does on the last night he would spend before his crucifixion with his disciples. Look at John chapter 13. John chapter 13. Verse Beginning at verse 2. The evening meal, John 13:2, was being served. And the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray Jesus. And Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under His power and that He had come from God and was returning to God. So He got up from the meal, took off His outer clothing, wrapped a towel around His waist, and after that He poured water into a basin and began to wash His disciples' feet, drying them with a towel that was wrapped around Him. And He came to Simon Peter, who said to Him, "Lord, are You going to wash my feet?" I want you to hear the words that Jesus says to him now. Zone in on this. Don't miss this. Jesus said, "You do not realize now what I'm doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "You will never wash my feet." And then listen to what Jesus says. He says, "Unless I wash you, you have no part in me." Every person who is genuinely in Christ needs washing. If we're not washed, then we're not in Christ. Simon Peter is alarmed, and perhaps as you've heard those words, you would become alarmed as well. Because you should. Simon Peter obviously did. He didn't say, "Okay, well, that's cool." He says, "Lord! Not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Now listen to this. Jesus said, a person who has need of a bath, who has had a bath, needs only to wash his feet. His whole body is clean. Jesus says this is something, this washing that needs to be done is something different than salvation. Or at least justification. This isn't, I made a decision for Christ and I need to be washed. I need to be washed repeatedly. He says, even though you've been washed, and as you've had a bath, justification, he says you still need to have your feet washed. The whole body's clean. And he goes on and says, and you are clean. But you still need your feet washed. You see, as we travel through this world that is so filled with sin, we constantly get sin on us. You cannot live in this world without sin sticking to you like dust on feet. I don't care how much you set yourself to living a sanctified life, dirt comes on us. We had a kid one time, a long time ago, that we took to creation. His name was Andy Dosio. And you ever seen that comic book, the comic strip Peanuts? You know, the guy Pigpen, that the cloud of dirt followed him around. Andy Dosio could have been the model for Pigpen. I have never seen a kid that literally dust, a cloud of dust followed him around. And about and those of you who have been to creation know how hot it is there, and you know, you just get, you get out of the shower and an hour later you feel sweaty. You're outdoors, the sun's beating on you, you know, you never feel really clean, do you? But about the fourth day that we'd been there, maybe the third day there, Andy's older brother came to me and said, "I just looked in his suitcase and he hasn't changed a single piece of clothing since he arrived." So So we decided to show him the way of the Lord more excellently, since he was sleeping with us in the tent. And we got clean clothes, and we took him physically, hands and feet, and carried him down to the shower. And we had him get undressed, and we started waited in line, and we started and shoved him into the shower. And we watched him soap up. We want to see lather. And we waited until he was all clean and all rinsed off and he was drying. We said, cool, you know, we don't want to, we're going back, just get dressed. We took all his 3-day-old, 4-day, whatever they were, clothes, and we like kind of put them in a bag and tied them up. And we headed back and left him just the clean pile of clothes laying on the thing. About 20 minutes, he walks into camp with a cloud of dust behind him. And Kathy will tell you, am I exaggerating? Yeah. I don't know whether he got down and rolled up the dirt road to get back to camp or what he did. But I mean, he was literally smudged from head to foot. You know, that's obviously a humorous story. But the fact is, in the spiritual sense, we're all like Pigpen. It is so easy for the dust to gather on us and follow us like a cloud. And so Jesus says, I have to continually wash you. If you've been washed in the act of salvation, I need to keep washing your feet. And he does that through the Word. Notice what Jesus prays for his disciples in his high priestly prayer in John 17. Look at John 17. John 17, verse 17. John 17, 17. John 17, 17, here's what Jesus says. Jesus says, he's praying to the Father now. He's interceding for his own. He's interceding for the church. He says very clearly a little earlier now, I am not praying for the world. He says, I'm not praying for those who don't know me and won't know me and don't want to know me. He said, I'm praying for my own. And he says to the Father, sanctify them. Purify them. The word sanctify can be translated purify, cleanse, make righteous, make holy, make dedicated. He says, sanctify them by the truth. You see, we live in a day in which people are looking for an emotional experience. If I can just go to an altar and weep one time, then, oh, I'll be right. I'll never have to do anything again. If I can just have this time of prayer and a light come down upon me and shine around me, oh, it'll be all over and I'll live the rest of my life for Christ. Jesus says, first of all, you need to be cleansed over and over and over and over and over again. Just like in the ancient world, people, every time you came into a home, that home was to greet you by washing your feet. We need to be cleansed again and again and again. And Jesus says he does that by the truth. Not by emotion, not by giving you an experience, but by bringing truth into your life. And then he goes on and says, your word is truth. Now let me ask you, how much is the truth of God's Word impacting your life today? Is it cleansing you as Jesus prayed that it would do? Is it sanctifying you? Is it changing you? Is it making you purer, more washed, washed and cleansed by the Word? But in order to do that, the Word must be not just read or listened to, but obeyed. Look at what James says about this. Look at James. One of the most horrible things that can happen as we begin to harden our heart. Now, there are some people that harden their hearts and they stop listening to the Word. And I'll tell you, one of the signs is, I can tell when somebody's begun to go away simply by little things like you show up late when the Word of God is, or the worship of the Lord is going to be done, and you leave early. Yeah, I'm coming. I have to do my duty. But boy, I don't want to really fully enter in. I don't want to get all that God has. I want to make sure that, yes, I was there, so you can't carp on me that I wasn't there. But you know what? I don't really want all that God has. And there are some people that begin to withdraw from the ministry of God's Word. They pull back from it. But there is an equally devastating reaction. And that is, I begin to intellectualize the Word. I go to the Word simply to get a tidbit of trivia to put in my mental computer. And I get really good at Bible trivia games. How many wives did David have? Oh, I can answer that. What was the king that served after Hezekiah? Got that one down. Where did Elijah go when he fled from Jezebel? Oh, let me tell you about that. I have all kinds of intellectualizing of the Word. I can fill in the blanks in a Bible study. I have a notebook of notes on the Word of God. But that's not enough. Look at what James says in James chapter 1. James chapter 1, beginning at verse 21. And you have to see that the verses after this, verse 22 and on, flow out of 21. They're talking about what's going on in 21. There's not a disconnect. There's no big bright line between verse 21 and verse 22. The thought flows together. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth. In other words, be cleansed. Notice this is an ongoing process. This isn't a one-time thing. You cannot have any act, experience, time, retreat, camp, college, or any other thing that once and for all can deal with this. Because I don't care how good a shower you get spiritually. I don't care if you soak in God's tub till your skin wrinkles up like a raisin. As soon as you get out of that tub, as soon as you get out of that shower and begin to walk through this world, the dust begins to gather on you again. You see that? The moment you drive down the highway, those billboards, trumpet to you sin after sin. The minute you enter into your workplace, the ungodly around you begin to you say, okay, I'll never leave my home. If you don't believe the devil lives in homes, he says, get rid of all moral filth ongoingly, today, tomorrow, the next day. You need to have your feet washed. And the evil that is so prevalent. You say, oh, you don't understand. You know, my workplace is just absolutely the throne of Satan. You don't understand what it's like to live with my husband or my wife. I mean, Jesus would be driven to drinking if he had to live in my house. You don't know what it's like to deal with my parents or my kids. The Word of God says, yeah, evil is prevalent. And you know, that wasn't invented in the last 20 years. The world wasn't heaven on earth till 20 years ago, and then 20 years ago it all of a sudden just blew up. As long as this world is fallen until Jesus comes back, evil will be prevalent. It's always waiting right there. None of us is more than one step away from falling, no matter how far we grow. But then notice what he says, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. But then he says, wait a minute, the word isn't enough. The word by itself isn't enough to cleanse you from this moral filth and evil that's so prevalent. There can be a problem. You can be in the word and still have that moral filth and evil sticking to you. So he goes on, and having said we need to receive that word humbly, he says, do not merely listen to the word. He says, here's what you can do. You can come to the place where, yes, you listen to the word. Oh, I'm in church, and I go to a church where the gospel's really preached. I go to the church where they really preach, and boy, I take notes, and I write my notes down. And I put them in a big book. And I got notes on all kinds of stuff. And I can tell you the stuff. But he says, if you merely listen to the word, you begin to deceive yourself. And here's the dangerous thing. When we deceive ourselves, you know, if I'm deceiving Frank, at least I know it's a deception. He may know or he may not know, but if I'm deceiving Frank, I at least know it's a deception, right? When I begin to deceive myself, no one but God knows it's a deception. And I begin to slowly twist myself because I'm listening, but I'm not doing. And every time we come to the place where we go, yeah, I'm hearing it, but we don't put it into practice, that word ceases to cleanse us. It becomes a film of oil. You know, water is wonderful if you've been out mowing and you have sweat and maybe some grass seed stuck on, you know, that water just washes that off. But you know, if you get oil all over you, I mean, you've been down under a car just working on it and there's grease all up your arms and all over your shirt, and you take it off and it's just come through your shirt and it's all over you. You get under that water, and that water doesn't do a thing but just spread it around, does it? You see, the soap that goes with the water of the Word is doing what it says. He says, do what it says. Now, what's the next word?
Anyone.
See, this is written for you and me. We need to hear this. This is our mail. You and me, anyone who listens to the Word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in the mirror. What do you look like when you get up first thing in the morning? Yeah. Some of us, you know, have a little less problem than others. He says you just look in the mirror, and then I remember one time I got up on a Sunday morning and I was in the bathroom and I'm getting ready and I'm just getting ready to shave, and somebody yelled at me that there was some problem going on or something happening in the house or something, was some crisis of the moment, and I rush out of the bathroom and I worked and worked and worked to get the crisis resolved. I forgot to go back and finish shaving. And I'm running late, and I'm getting, and I put my shirt on, I put my tie on, I get in, and I come running into church, and for some reason I went in the bathroom and looked, and I had about 3 days. You see, I'd looked in the mirror, but I forgot what I was there for. And when we hear the Word, but we don't put it into practice, it doesn't cleanse us. It just kind of spreads the dirt around us and makes it a film. Because it says, and after looking at himself, he goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. Let me tell you something. You and I are just alike. We forget really easy what we really look like. We forget what we really look like. We are so good at telling ourselves we look different than we do. When I go to the Word, and I look into the Word, and I hear what the Word says about me, and then I do something about it. It says, but the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this. See, that's the hard part, isn't it? It's real easy to have God convict me on a Sunday morning like this and say, oh God, I've got to change. Oh God, I need you. Oh God, I want you to work. Oh God, I want to be this. I want to... But it's hard about Wednesday to remember what I'm supposed to be doing, isn't it? He says, but the man who looks intently, notice, not a casual look. How often do we look casually at God's Word? Yeah, get a thought for the day. Well, I read a psalm every day, whether I need it or not. He looks intently. He tries to understand the Word. Do you understand what the Word says, what it means, how to apply it? He looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting. Now, let me stop right there. I'm not going to have you turn there, but I want you to tell me. Matthew chapter 13 tells about the four types of soil. First type of soil, the path. Birds of the air come. The birds of the air are who? Satan. What does Satan do when the Word is implanted? He eats it up. He tries to... I was driving down Route 45 towards Bridgeton one time, and there was this massive eight-wheel drive tractor out in one of the fields on the farms down there. It's probably a housing development today. But he was hauling behind him this massive planter. It had to have been 30 feet wide. And he's going down this field with this massive planter. I don't know what he was planting, but he was planting something. And behind him, the ground was black. There had to have been 1,000 crows covered. I mean, you couldn't see the ground behind it. And when he kind of turned and come back at them, they'd scatter and go in. And when they went into the air, it was like a bumblebee nest had been. I mean, just cloud of them. And as soon as he went by, they just settle right back down and start picking that seed. Now that's what Satan does every time we hear the Word of God. If we don't become intentional, well, I have to hear this, I have to understand this, and I have to do this. Not forgetting what he's heard, but doing it. You see, the only way I'll remember what I've heard is if I actually put it into practice. People ask me sometimes, they say, how do you know all those verses? How do you remember all those verses? Well, some of it is just a gift from God, and I give him all the glory, but some of it is. I use them all the time. That's why sometimes you'll ask me a verse, and I go, oh, I know it's there, but and I'm digging through my concordance, and you see, that's one I don't use all the time. But when you're doing it, using it, then you don't forget it. You don't remember those salvation verses. I guarantee you one thing, you're not witnessing. Because if you're sharing the gospel, you'll know those verses. I guarantee you, if you don't know basic discipleship verses, I guarantee you one thing, you're not discipling anybody. Because if you're discipling somebody, you'll be sharing those verses with them. And that'll just remind you. How many times did you hear those verses from Vacation Bible School? You probably knew the verses better than the kids did. But see, if you don't use them, what happens? They're gone. He says, but doing it. Do you do it? Look with me at Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Now, many of us here know Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. What's Hebrews 10, 24 and 25? What's Hebrews 10, 24 and 25? Not forsaking, in the King James, and I memorized that long ago in King James, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as some are in the habit of doing, but exhorting one another and so much more as you see the day approaching. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. But I want you to start just a little bit earlier than that. Notice what it says. It says, verse 22, let us draw near to God. You see, that's the goal. Fellowship is a means. It's not the goal. Let's get together so we get together. I remember one time when I first came to this church, I was in the office, and this woman called up and she was saying, I'm so lonely. I don't have anyone that cares about me. It was right before Christmas, about 2 weeks or so before Christmas. She said, I don't have anybody that cares about me. I have nothing to go, nowhere to go, nothing to do. I just wish I had some women friends that I could be with and hang out with and do something with. And I looked at the calendar there on the wall. And the calendar on the wall said Seekers, and the Seekers at that point were a group of young women, 20s, early 30s, that got together, quote-unquote, for fellowship. And I said, you know, I've got something for you. I'd love to give you an invitation. In fact, I'll come and pick you up and take you to the thing. This group at our church called the Seekers are having a Christmas party tonight. And I'd just like to invite you to come and meet some women And we talked for a little while, and I hung up the phone, and my secretary at the time glared at me and said, "You had no right. That's our Christmas party. We will all be there. And we will be exchanging gifts with our friends. And we don't want some stranger there at our party." Because we're there for fellowship. You see, fellowship isn't the goal. Yeah, what happened to them? What happened to them individually was not a pretty picture for most of them. Fellowship is not the goal. Worship is. Coming to Christ. Drawing near to God. Being in God's presence. But fellowship is the means. But when we come together, we need to come together pursuing Him. Not for ourselves. If I get together with you guys because, hey, you're my friends and I want to be together with you, that counts zero for the kingdom of God. Do you know how many people that give their lives to Christian baseball or Christian bowling and say, "Hey, I'm serving the Lord," are going to find out in eternity that that counted for nothing? So what if you played baseball and you called it fellowship? The goal is to draw near to God. Draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith. Now, do you want to have assurance in your faith? Having our hearts sprinkled, we're back to that cleansing again, aren't we? To cleanse us from a guilty conscience. Having our bodies washed with pure water, what's that? That's the Word. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for He who promised is faithful. And let us now, out of that, He says, let us consider one another. You see, part of what we need is we need to spur one another with the Word, because that's how we wash one another. Spiritually, we need to wash one another. You need to be washing me with the Word. I need to be washing you with the Word. Let me show you what the Word says. Let me ask you. How clean are you today? Is the Word doing its work cleaning in your life? If you're dirty, it's not because it's impossible to be clean. If you're dirty, it's not because there's no provision available. It's because you're not using the right tools. You're not being washed by the Word. You're not allowing others to wash you with the Word. Here's the bottom line. You and I need washing. We need washing today, but we'll need washing tomorrow. Sometimes we deceive ourselves and say, "Well, hey, I was washed 3 weeks ago, so I'm clean." Or, "When I got saved, I had all the washing I need." No, you didn't. And we accept it first humbly that I need a lot of washing, but in spiritual pride, we come to the place where we think we don't need that anymore. And I don't care how clean you get today, you'll need to be washed again tomorrow, because the dirt of this world is going to stick to you. And the devil will try to stir up pride and say, "Look how clean you are. You don't need to be washed anymore." And maybe for a day or two, you won't see the residue of dirt building up. But over time, it begins to cake on you. And only deception keeps our eyes from seeing it. Are you in the Word? That's great, but that's not enough. Is the word cleansing you? Is the word cleansing you? Is the word cleansing you? If not, then I want you to think about three things, and then this we close. If the word isn't cleansing me, then number one, am I in the word enough? If a bath doesn't cleanse me, then I better ask, am I in the bath? Bath doesn't cleanse me if the bath's upstairs and I'm sitting downstairs on the couch. The bath only cleanses the one in it. Am I in the word? Number two, not just am I in the word, Jesus, speak to me. Sometimes God speaks to you through other people. Am I allowing other people to cleanse me with the word? Do I have other people that are bringing cleansing into my life through the word? Am I bringing cleansing into other people's lives by the word? Well, I talk to people all the time. Do you use the word? Or do you use your opinions? Your opinions cleanse no one. And number three, I'm not being cleansed. If I say, yes, I'm in the Word. I'm in the Word all the time, and I'm really looking intently into it. And yes, I'm listening to others try to cleanse me with the Word, but it doesn't seem to be working. Then number three, am I doing what the Word says? Well, in the big things, how about the little things? Well, in the little things, how about the big things? Word can wash you and make you pure. Let's bow together. Lord, we need to be cleansed of the filth that sticks to us so easily. Oh Lord, help us have the cleansing of the Word that we might be a holy people, ready for your return. In Jesus' name, amen.